Okay, so I have no financial relationships to disclose. Good afternoon, and thank you for coming. My name is Leah Brook, and I am a student at George Mason University in Fairfax, Virginia. The title of my presentation today is the Event-Specific Examination of Alcohol Consumption and Sexual Behavior Among College Students in the United States. So the purpose of the study was to examine the situational characteristics associated with the United States college students' most recent drinking experience and behaviors engaged in during a specific sexual event. So some background on this study, 7 out of 10 adolescents in the United States have had sex before their 19th birthday. Nearly 40% of high school students admit to regular drinking, and almost 50% that have had sexual intercourse, according to the study. About 13% admit to not using any type of contraception. Another side note, 7% of young women ages 18 to 24 who have had sex before the age of 20 years say that their first sexual experience was not voluntary. So although the United States is included in the top 10 most educated countries, there still exists a huge deficiency in sexual health education at the college level. So 15 to 24-year-olds, they do account for one-fourth of the sexually active individuals in the United States. However, almost 50% of newly diagnosed STIs come from this population each year, which, as you can see, is pretty large for this population. So while programs currently exist to improve the sexual health of adolescents, the educational components of these programs are often limited and created from data derived from high school populations. As you could see, all of our statistics and whatnot were from high school numbers. So in order to tailor messaging and interventions for college-aged individuals, it is necessary to understand the behavioral practices of this demographic and the contextual influences of various behaviors. So with the study design, it was a cross-sectional survey design, and it was an anonymous self-reporting questionnaire. We did receive over 1,000 participants, and we did use a community-based participatory research approach. So it made our study sort of unique to where we had about 7 different departments on campus helping us form this survey, which really helped with the diversity of the questions and just really to make it well-rounded. We had anywhere from housing, the Department for Housing, to our student health services involved in the planning for this. It was also an event-specific study. So instead of asking traditional questions like in the past 30, 60, 90 days, et cetera, when was the last time you had sex or engaged in a specific behavior, it did focus on the last time you had a sexual event or the last time you consumed alcohol, who is it with, what happened, that kind of thing. So our program, our survey was programmed into Qualtrics for electronic dissemination and data collection, and it was a university-wide sample limited to George Mason University, specifically ages 18 to 30 plus years of age, which did encompass our undergraduate population. And it did have a wide range of ethnicities reported, class standings, religious backgrounds, on and off campus students, and organizational membership. So some of the information we looked for, our background information, so the obvious age, gender, sexual orientation, so on and so forth, general health questions, so we had CDC's questions on quality of life, and then the relationship and sexual history, so relationship status, sexual health information, and the family's attitudes of alcohol and sex prior to college. So here are a couple examples of what our questions actually looked like. These next questions are about the most recent time that you engaged in sexual activities with another individual. So we define sexual activities as engaging in genital touching, mutual masturbation, oral genital contact, deep kissing, intercourse, or other similar types of behavior. So it wasn't just limited to vaginal intercourse or, you know, traditional, I guess, sexual practices. And also who or which best describes who this person was. Responses ranged from boyfriend, girlfriend, partner, spouse, to a hookup, to someone that the participant just met. Other measures we were looking at, participant partner pleasure during sexual event, participant partner ability to achieve an orgasm, participants' feelings during this most recent sexual event. So we looked at different feelings such as being scared to in love with their partner, and they did vary across the board. Also, where did the sexual event occur? Was it planned? And sexual behaviors engaged in during this event. You will see the specific types of behaviors in a few slides, but we had 12 different actions that ranged from holding the partner romantically, aka cuddling, to engaging in vaginal intercourse. We did have very similar questions for alcohol consumption where appropriate. So when was the last time you consumed an alcoholic drink, behaviors engaged in during the most recent alcohol consumption, and they did range anywhere from being arrested to experiencing a sexual event. Also, if sexual activity did occur with alcohol consumption, did alcohol make it easier to consent? And was also alcohol used to promote sexual activity? So here are demographics. So we received 1,082 responses. There was a wide range of ethnicities reported, but the majority of those were white. Our mean age was 20 years, and that was indicative of our class standing, which is the junior. That was junior third year. That was our average class standing. So the majority, or nearly half, I guess, of our participants did consider themselves to be single or not in a relationship with anyone else. However, of those who were in a relationship, 85% did indicate that that relationship was an exclusive monogamous relationship with their partner. So here are some results. Most of our participants did report a sexual event within the past month, and the average indicated that their most recent was in the past 7 days. And similarly, most participants did report an alcohol event within the past month, with their most recent being in the past 7 days. As you can see, more consumed alcohol within the past month than experienced a sexual event. So among the participants who did describe their sexual partner as a boyfriend or girlfriend or spouse, nearly half did report that they and their partner had not had any other sexual partners in the past 6 months. Now, out of all the students in this study, about 24% had been tested for STIs in the past year, and almost 30 had been tested for HIV within their college years. And among participants who did engage in a sexual event, 53% did use a condom. However, of those participants that did consume alcohol before their most recent sexual event, which was around 28%, less than half of them used the condom. So you can see that number drop as alcohol is involved. So here are the behaviors engaged in during the sexual event. So the majority of our participants, as you can see, kiss partner on the mouth, touch their partner's genitals, partner touched their genitals, they romantically held each other and engaged in vaginal intercourse. And basically what this slide is saying is, although alcohol was not necessarily used to encourage sexual activity, some reported that it made it easier to consent to the sexual event with alcohol in the play of things. Okay, so among those who did consume alcohol before the most recent sexual event, the average amount of drinks that was consumed for the majority of our participants was 1 to 3 drinks. And participants who did not consume alcohol before their most recent sexual event achieved an orgasm, which was 59%, while less than half were able to achieve an orgasm that did consume alcohol before that most recent sexual event. So that number did decrease as well. Okay, so some of our conclusions. Findings did highlight the importance of understanding the contextual components and situational circumstances related to alcohol consumption. And although this data was generalized to George Mason University and specifically collected at one university, it's not irrelevant to national statistics. Mason is a slightly different university. It is the largest in Virginia. However, it is one of the most diverse campuses and everything in the nation. It did receive that ranking a couple years ago, and it still holds true to the population there. So it's not necessarily generalize that data to every school, of course, but it does set the ground for good national statistics. So as I said, this data provides a large-scale assessment of sexual behavior during the most recent sexual event among college students in the United States. Findings from the study also highlight diversities in behaviors and demonstrate varying degrees of potential STIs regardless of gender, and further research is needed to aid in the development of appropriate programs to support the health of college students. Okay, so I would like to thank my wonderful mentor, Dr. Joshua Rosenberger, the Oscar program at George Mason University, as well as the College of Health and Human Services at George Mason, and of course our 1,082 study participants. And those are some of our references. And does anyone have any questions? No?
Can you repeat the question?
I'm sure.
Sorry. There's not any questions.
Yes.
So do you have plans to do some more sophisticated statistical analysis to see if there's differences in the responses, particularly between males and females?
Yes. So in regards to more specific analysis and whatnot, we are looking at different data sets between those who, you know, did consume alcohol with a sexual event and whether they're male or female and their attitudes on that, as well as the feelings brought on from that event, just because those are pretty important as well. So. Mm-hmm. Sure. So in regards to that, with our study sample being a little different than other universities, as I said earlier, George Mason is a little different just diversity-wise and the, I guess, population of the university. It is, as I said, the largest university in Virginia, but it definitely does not reflect certain characteristics that other large universities have. We were just last year named a residential university, which is kind of odd for a university of that scale, to have over 30,000 students and just be considered a residential university. So just different characteristics like that, they do definitely make our data a little different. However, a lot of it is applicable to, you know, different schools and whatnot. It is reflective of other similar universities across the United States.
Thank you so much. That was great.